This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu. I welcome all of you once again to my daily discourse on the topic of family disputes and family conflicts, causes and solutions. If you remember, yesterday we discussed the fifth cause, which I titled as selfishness and selflessness, being selfish and being self-centered. And the solution to that was ithar. That was the fifth cause. And before that, we talked about the other four in quite detail. Today, inshallah, now I move on to cause number six. We move on to cause number six and solution. A very important topic and a major root cause of many of our problems and disputes. The cause is what we call in Arabic ghadab. In English, anger and wrath. Ghadab. This is a quality or an attribute. Anger is a quality and attribute which all human beings possess. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and Creator, created it within ourselves. He created it for a wisdom that He knew best, that we should have anger. And the wisdom is, apparently, that if we did not have anger at all, completely, no anger whatsoever, then a human would never even be able to defend himself from an enemy, for example. If some enemy is attacking him or her, he won't be able to defend himself. He will never have anger in his life and defend himself. So, for occasional reasons and occasional situations, in order to defend oneself in a lawful, halal manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and Creator, created this anger within ourselves. Right? So, anger, I mean, all these, you know, kind of spiritual diseases and these attributes that we have, Some people might think that why did Allah create them within ourselves? Why didn't Allah just not create jealousy amongst us and within ourselves? Why didn't Allah just create us without anger? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us without these kind of feelings and emotions? The simple answer, without going into detail, is that there is a hikmah, wisdom behind every single one of these attributes or qualities or feelings or emotions. And the wisdom for each one is different, but there is a wisdom. And there was a need, because there is a justified usage to it. Right? There is a justified usage to it. And without some of these, like anger, for example, as I said, a person will, you know, need anger in his or her life to an extent, to use it lawfully, in a halal way, like in a battlefield, for example. However, on most of the occasions, it is unlawful to act upon one's anger. We need to control our angers. Anger is the cause number six, and probably one of the main reasons of many disputes, family problems, friction, and a lot of the argumentation that we find and fights and quarrels that we find ourselves in and we see. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira, the great companion radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He relates that a man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, أوصني ولا تكثر علي. And وفي رواية أوصني وأوجز. Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, give me an advice, counsel me, advise me, give me an advice, but please make it short, something short. Now, this was not disrespectful to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reason being is that, sometimes a person may be in a hurry, a person is in haste and he needs to go somewhere else. So, scholars based on this hadith and muhadithun, they've actually stated that it's not disrespectful for a student, for an inferior, for a junior, when asking advice from a senior, to respectfully say and request that, can you give me a short nasiha? Give me a short, brief nasiha. It's not a problem. Right? Now, he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me a nasiha, but make it short and brief. You know, just ojis. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La taghdab. Do not become angry. لا تغضب. Now, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of all the different types of counseling that he could have imparted with, and all the different types of nasaih and nasiha and advices that he could have given, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose to say, لا تغضب. Don't become angry. لا تغضب. Do not become angry. Now, anger, reason being, is because this disease and this emotion or this feeling or this attribute of anger is such that it creates many different, it results in many different evils and sins. Anger, the scholars actually explain, they say that a human being has two major qualities and emotions because of which he sins. We have al-quwwatu shahwaniya and al-quwwatu al-ghadabiya. Al-quwwatu shahwaniya is the lustful nature, the lustful soul. Al-quwwatu shahwaniya. Half of the sins a man or a woman, a human being commits is because of al-quwwatu shahwaniya, the lustful nature of the soul. Right? And lustful nature, shahwa, means like the desires of the lustful nature of the soul, the desire of the heart. Right, and that's al-quwwatu shahwaniya, and this is the reason why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith he said, "Man tazawaja, idha tazawaja al-abd, faqad istakmala nisfu imanihi. Idha tazawaja al-abd, faqad istakmala al-abdu nisfu imanihi." The one who marries, he has completed half of his faith. فَلْيَتَقِلَّهَا فِي النِّصْفِ الْبَاقِي. Let him just fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the remaining half. Now, because marriage, you're controlling your lustful nature. So half of the sins committed by a human being is because of his or her lustful nature. Al-quwwatu shahwaniya. And the other half are sins committed due to al-quwwatu al-ghadabiyya, the angry soul, the angry nature. Right? The angry soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually talks about this in the Quran together. He says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ. He talks about tawheed. He says, these are the people, لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ. They do not call out to anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned two sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two sins. One connected to the al-quwwatu shahwaniya, the lustful soul, and the other as an example of a sin connected to, related to, associated to the angry soul. He said, وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. They do not kill. لا يقتل. They do not commit قتل, murder. They do not kill any soul that Allah has made haram, meaning without any justification. ولا يزنون. And they do not commit zina and adultery and fornication. Now قتل and zina, murder, killing someone, and adultery, these are two sins. Killing someone is connected to القوة الغضبية, the angry nature, the angry soul. and fornication is related to the lustful nature. So therefore, a human being, all the vices and sins that we see in the world and within ourselves, if we make a list of sins that we commit, each one of us will see half of them are connected to al-quwwatu shahwaniyah, the other half will be connected to al-quwwatu al-ghadabiyyah. And this is the reason why we need to control these two aspects within our bodies, these two aspects. And fasting, actually, subhanAllah, yani fasting, siyam, has been prescribed in order to control these two aspects and these two forces within our system. Seriously, fasting has been prescribed to control, right? To control. And this is the reason why whilst we fast, we can't eat, we can't drink, and we don't have sexual relations. And you know, because eating less and drinking, well, sorry, not eating or not drinking, this controls a human being. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once he addressed the young people, and he said, you know, whoever is not able to marry, then, you know, he should fast, فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ, because it is a shield. So fasting becomes a shield from the, you know, lustful nature as well as the angry nature. Even though a lot of people become angry when they're fasting, but in reality, when you don't eat, you don't have the energy. You're lethargic. You're lazy. You just don't have the energy. So it's to control control these two natures, and that's why Allah says لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, because when you fast, it's in order to gain taqwa. Because when you control these two natures, these two forces, you become a muttaqi, you bring about taqwa in your life. Anyway, going back to what I was saying, dear brothers and sisters, anger, you know, is considered to be one of the root causes of many of our sins. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama, he said to this sahabi, this companion, when he asked for a brief and concise advice, he said, لا تغضب, do not become angry. Reason being is because anger results in all the other sins that we see. As I said, one of the major, probably the main root cause of family disputes and family problems, right? This is the sixth cause that we're looking at. We've talked about the other five since the beginning of Ramadan. This is the sixth cause of family disputes that we're talking about. Anger. Reason being, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why he said la taghdab, a short advice, because if a person controls his or her anger, if anger is controlled, then we are able to stay away from half of the sins we commit. Specifically, we avoid conflict, argumentation, because you see, look, you know, anger results in many different sins. Look, let me give you some examples. When we become angry, when someone angers us, when we become angry, an angry person will commit all the other sins you can think of. Because, you know, when someone makes you angry, then that person may be someone who you have control over, right? Or someone who you don't have control over. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you become angry, the person who you are angry upon, if that person's your junior, say for example he's your junior, he's your son, or he's your student, she's your daughter, your children, your students, people working for you, you're the boss, you have a control over them, they're superiors. If you're a superior and you have control over them, and you become angry, then this will result in you committing major sins, such as pride, such as, you know, killing, such as hitting, slandering, swearing, striking, beating up, punching, slapping, injuring, and the list goes on. These are all the kind of sins, because that person is under your control. So when you're angry, you might just throw something at them, you might just slap them, you might just punch them, you might just swear at them. There'll be physical, verbal abuse, right? Anger. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about, you know, swearing and slandering, that it's fisq, sibabul muslimi fusuqun. If it's physical abuse, you're hitting and striking, you know, the husband has control over his wife, right? He will strike her. If he becomes angry, a small conflict took place, And he became angry. Now, if his wife is under his control, and I'm saying if, because not, it's not always the case, because sometimes the wife is not under the control, maybe the other way around sometimes, seriously, that is a case as well. Because, you know, there's a lot of situations where I see it's from both sides, that we have to be very, very just. But if the husband has the wife under his control, then what happens? Is that he'll strike her, he'll beat her up, and he'll bruise her, he'll punch her, he'll injure her. There'll be physical abuse, and if not physical abuse, then mental and psychological and verbal abuse. Likewise, the wife as well. If she has a lot of anger in her, and she cannot control her anger, then what will happen? She may physically abuse her husband. You might think, yes, wife, yes, it happens. Domestic violence, go and search. It's not just the man, it's both ways. I mean, we had a conference once recently, not recently, a while back, which I attended, and there were statistics and figures presented by experts who actually were mentioned that this domestic violence takes place from both sides. And in some cases, more so from the women, because they think they have the freedom and liberty, they think they're vulnerable, and they will throw plates, and they will throw, you know, whatever is in their hands, and cups, and saucers, and knives, and whatever. And people get injured, and people have to go to hospital. Subhanallah, that happens. So it's from both sides, right? But if the point here is that when a person has anger, and the person you're dealing with is under your control, then it will result in the sins that I've just mentioned: physical abuse, verbal abuse, mental, psychological abuse. There'll be slandering, there'll be swearing, there'll be cursing, there'll be hitting, there'll be, you know, all these kind of things. However, if the situation is such that the person who angered you is not under your control, like you become angry at your father, you can't really say anything, or your mother, or your elder brother, or your uncle, or your aunt, or your teacher, or someone superior to you, or someone more powerful and mighty, someone who, if you even say something, they'll probably really beat you up and strike you and you know, will really injure you, so you're scared, you can't really say anything. Someone who's not under your control, then you've got the anger. You might say, now I'm not going to commit sins. No, even in that situation, sins will be committed, because you've got that anger, right? Now, you won't have the ability, and you won't have that option to say anything back to him, because you don't have control. He's senior to you, so at that time you will remain quiet, right? In his presence, in the presence of that senior person whom you fear or have respect for, you remain quiet. But once you disappear from his eyesight, once you go away home, then when you speak to other people, you'll talk bad. Like a wife, for example, who doesn't have control over the husband, and considers her husband to be superior, cannot say anything, then what will she do? She'll have anger at that time. Or like, for example, you know, a student with a teacher, or in whatever situation, if you cannot say anything back at that time, then you will take it all in. And that anger, then you'll go to other people. You'll swear and slander in the presence of others. And you'll do ghibah. So that now anger is resulting in ghibah, in backbiting, in enmity. You'll have enmity in the heart, jealousy maybe, and bughd, and hatred, and malice, all these kind of sins. This is the reason why our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam mentioned to the Sahabi, to this companion, a brief advice. He said, لا تغضب, do not become angry. Reason being is that anger results in many sins. Majority of the sins are a result of our anger. And as I mentioned, that in both scenarios, if the person upon whom you are angry is under your control, then it will result in sins such as striking, physical abuse, hitting, swearing, slandering, etc. And if the person upon whom you are angry is not under your control, is beyond your control, then you will remain quiet at that time, but later on you will maybe commit sins such as backbiting, tail-bearing, having enmity, hatred, dislike in the heart. So all the sins, many sins are, you know, committed and created due to anger. And anger is a major, it's a severe spiritual disease, brothers and sisters. I don't want to really go into talking about anger because it's a spiritual disease and that's another topic. We're looking at family disputes, causes and solutions. But I remember a couple of years ago, Radio Ramadan, you know, I used to go through the spiritual diseases one by one and actually talked about anger over 2 hours, I remember. But it's a severe disease. You know, swallowing one's anger is so important. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa ash-shadidu bis-sur'ah, laysa ash-shadidu bis-sur'ah, innama ash-shadid alladhi yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab." That you're not a brave person. You're not a brave person because of being able to defeat another human being. Innama ash-shadid, the real brave, shadid, the brave person is the one alladhi yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab. The one who is able to control himself at the time of anger. There's no, you know, why do we boast? You know, I'm angry, I have control, look, you know, I'm really angry person and people do what I say. The opposite of anger and the solution, which I will go into inshallah in quite detail, is sabr, is patience. And we need to bring about the quality of patience. So, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِسُرْعَةٍ The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person is not brave by surah, by being able to defeat another person, whether it's physical or mental or psychological. Whether it's physical. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you're not a brave person by defeating another person. I added in explanation whether it's physical or psychological or verbal. What I mean by that, physical is that, you know, you have a physical warfare, fighting, and you're beating one another up, and if you have victory, that's not really a big deal. So what? That's no big deal. And even if it's verbal, you're having an argument. You said something, she said something, you said something, she said something, you said something, she said, she came back, and then we want to have the last say. You know, some of us like, until I don't get the last say, that's it. It's not going to work. I have to say the last say. What benefit is in there? You could have gone and maybe made work somewhere, made some money. Do something for your benefit in this world or the next world. 10 minutes, you could have maybe worked and earned some money. Carry on and carry on with that dispute. So whether it's verbal or psychological, in any way, shape or form, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ The real brave person is not the one. Is not the one. You know, subhanAllah, some of us, we don't even realize what we need to do and what makes us good human beings. We've actually, you know, some of these things I'm talking about, right? Some of us, alhamdulillah, we know what's right, what's wrong. Some of us, we do know what's right, what's wrong. We know that we shouldn't have anger. We know, sometimes, some of us, unfortunately, are in such situations that we don't even realize what's right and what's wrong. Like once, a brother was once mentioning to me he was driving a car. I can't even remember how long ago this was or where he was or anything right now. He mentioned to me that you know, we're talking about some park, you know, some roads are crowded, and some of the streets in one of the cities, you know, how the roads are so crowded, and it's like, you know, cars are parked on both sides. So if a car comes from that side, from the other side, two cars, it's very difficult for both of them to pass one another. Like in Leicester as well, some of the streets in Highfields, if you see, you know, I just try to avoid. I have to go around the Highfields because it's just so difficult to drive through those, some of the streets, you know, some parking on both sides. It's very difficult. So this was mentioned to me. He was discussing. He said, "Oh, you know, oh subhanAllah, you know, I was driving and I brought my car. I went into the street and the other driver came from the other side, he was driving his car. Now, it was absolutely difficult for us to pass one another. So I flashed at him, you know, for him to move back. He said, no, you move back. I said, no, you go back. I said, you go back. He said to me, no, you go back. You know, out of the window shouting. He said to me, you know, he's so boasting and proud about this. SubhanAllah, this is what I'm saying, that some of us, we don't even realize. He's boasting and shouting. I said to him, I opened my window, I said, look, you know, can't you see there's more distance? you know, how, on my side, for me, I'll have to go back a lot, and you'll have to go just a bit. He said, no, you know, I'm not going back, there's, you know, cars and it's difficult. You return, you retreat, you go back. And he was telling me in such a, like, a boastful way, he goes, you know what I did? I just offed my engine, and I said, I folded my hands and said, okay, I've got all night, I'm going to sleep here. SubhanAllah. Like, someone's boasting and saying that, this is what I did. And I said to him, okay, you don't want to go back? You know what I'll do? My engine's off. And I said to my son, relax, put your chair back, you know, wake us up in the morning. And he said he did the same as well. He offed his engine as well. And come on, all this 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour. How many minutes would have it taken to just go back? 2 minutes? This argumentation maybe took half an hour, 45 minutes. It would have taken 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes to retreat, take your car in reverse, and your ego would have hurt it. But that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for in this world. Our ego, you know, it would have hurt it. But you see, we have two options. We have two options in this world, right? We have two options. If someone hurts us, then, you know, we retaliate and we make a big deal out of it and we take it further. You know, if someone tells, if you find out that someone was saying something about you, now we say, okay, who was talking about me and what did they say about me, and you go into it. Other option is, okay, if they talked about me, fine. Them praising me will not make me good. Them criticizing me will not make me a bad person. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, through whom and who's doing I become good or bad. Seriously, think like that. It just doesn't, you know, there's no use whatsoever bickering around and carrying on with argumentation. Now this situation is like, you know, he said, and seriously, you know what happened? He said, you know, the other person said, okay, he offed his engine as well, his car, and he said, I'm here as well. I've got a whole night as well. I don't need to go anywhere. So he said that, you know what we did, me and my son, we walked out of the car because our house was somewhere close by, and we said, we locked the car, we said, Assalamu alaikum, and we're leaving. We're going in the car, we'll come back in the morning, Fajr time. Allahu Akbar. You know the thing, the brother was actually telling me that he was quite proud of this, and I was thinking to myself, this is not something to be proud of. This is something to be remorseful about, and to be shy about. It's like, you know, if a person was to steal, then would you tell someone that, you know, yeah, I stole, or somebody was to commit adultery, fornication, or some other haram activity. Something you would want people to hide. It's not something to show people and talk about. So the point being that some of the things we don't even realize, some of us don't even realize that these are things that we are not supposed to do. So going back to anger, and the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yeah, this example was for that hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. You're not a brave person by defeating the other person. Like in this alteration that took place between these two individuals, you are driving your car, the other driver is bringing his car from the opposite end of the road. Okay, now you're saying you retreat and reverse your car, and he's saying the same to you. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the powerful and mighty person, laysa shadidu bisura. I was translating shadid, not brave. Laysa shadid, the powerful person. Right? The powerful person, the mighty person, is not the one who defeats the other. If you got your way and you forced him to go back, the Messenger of Allah, the Beloved of Allah, the Rahmah lil Alameen, the mercy to mankind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. SubhanAllah, for us, the best of examples is the Messenger of Allah. Imagine for one moment, you know, the way to determine all of this, and I've mentioned this on a few occasions, that brother who was forcing, if you are driving your car and you're forcing the other person to retreat and reverse, imagine for a moment, where you're sat on your driving, in your driving seat, on the steering wheel, for one moment, think. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sat here driving, think for a moment, how would he react? how would he react? Would he argue? And would he tell the other person that you reverse? Seriously, that's the fiqh of driving a car. If you want to know how to drive a car, for one moment think. There were no cars in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and neither is it a bid'ah, by the way, to drive a car, right? But just imagine, think for a moment, if the Messenger of Allah, the mercy to the whole of humanity and mankind, imagine, just close your eyes for a moment and think, if he was driving a car, if he was on my position, subhanallah, the Messenger of Allah had the quality of ithar. That's going back to the quality of ithar, giving preference to other people. He wouldn't have had one moment of hesitation in retreating and going back. He says here, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. The powerful and mighty person is not the one who defeats the other. If you made the other driver retreat, that's no big deal in the sight of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says the real brave and the real mighty person, the real powerful individual, is الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ, the one who is able to control himself or herself when being angered at the time of anger. That's the real test. Allah says in the Quran, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who swallow their anger, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, and those who forgive people, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves the muhsineen, the doers of good. Allah called these people muhsineen. These are the people of good. Great reward on not being angry. So the major root cause, sixth cause of family disputes, anger. Because you know when we're angry at home, it's a major root cause within the family. If we don't control anger, we end up fighting and arguing and disputing and problems after problems after problems. Disputes between the spouses, between the husband and the wife. Disputes between parents and children. Disputes between siblings, between the extended family members and the relatives and the uncles and the aunts, and between Muslims in general and just the wider society. Anger causes a lot of heartache. Anger causes a lot of these problems and friction. And remember the حقوق العباد, you know, about anger. As I said, it results in a lot of the other kind of sins, like hatred and enmity and slandering and swearing and ghibah, backbiting and tailbearing and striking and hitting and verbal abuse and physical abuse. Now, it's such a disease, is because the fact that it results in all these other sins, they are all connected to the rights of the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حقوق العباد. Any other sin, we could just ask Allah, oh Allah, forgive me, with sincerity, with devotion, tawbah and nasuha, we repent to Allah, Allah forgives. But all the sins connected to the servants of Allah, until they do not forgive us, until we do not go and seek forgiveness from them, it is difficult for that sin to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we really need to control our anger. Ghadab, control it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Control it. And we look at our predecessors, you know. We have to, you know, there are ways of controlling anger. And the opposite of anger, brothers and sisters, is sabr, patience, as I said. So the solution is sabr. Solution. The cause for family disputes is anger. The solution is to bring about this unique and this amazing quality of sabr, of patience, of fortitude. Tahammul and sabr. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ones who have sabr, the ones who have patience in their life, Allah will reward them بغير حساب, without any end and reckoning. There is no ends to the reward of sabr. Subhanallah. This is sabr. So we need to bring about sabr. If someone said something, if someone hurt your feelings, for the sake of Allah, just swallow your anger and have sabr. For the sake of Allah. you will avoid a lot of heartache. Seriously, it's good for you in this world, good for us in this world and the next world. For the next world, I just read the verse of the Quran. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Amazing rewards, subhanAllah, amazing rewards in the Akhirah, on sabr. But even in this world, we'll avoid aggravating the situation. For the sake of Allah, just stay quiet and for the sake of Allah. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Allah says, لَمَنْ صَبَرَ, the one who has patience, وَغَفَرَ, and forgives, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. This is from the highly praiseworthy acts and character traits. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah. You know, there's an incident, Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the great imams. We hear of these great four imams regularly, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik bin Anas, Imam Shafi'i, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, radiallahu anhum. May Allah be pleased with all of them. Imam Abu Hanifa, one of the four major imams, whom many of us follow, or claim to follow. There's an incident regarding him narrated. I heard this from my teacher, Shaykh Mufti Taqi Uthmani, hafidhahullah, and read in one of his books as well. Imam Abu Hanifa, listen to the story, you know, it's just so unique and amazing. Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu was a man of piety and religious learning. And he was such a busy individual. If you looked at his timetable, the whole day he would spend in teaching, researching, writing, extracting, deriving the rules of Islam, fiqh, jurisprudence. That was his job throughout the whole day. You know, if you look at his timetable from after Fajr Salah, after Ishraq, he would sit with his students, people like Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani, Imam Zufar, and many others of his students, and they would sit and they would look at the Quran and Sunnah, they would extract, derive rules and fiqh and masail. This was their job. Whole day, from Fajr to Dhuhr, and then from Dhuhr to just have a small nap in the afternoon, Qaylula, but then after that, till Asr, Asr till Maghrib, Maghrib till Isha. And after Isha, he would not sleep. He would go back at night, and then at night time, someone like us would say, oh, you know what, I'm tired the whole day. I've been working for deen, I've been doing khidmah for deen. What he would do? Whole night, he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reciting Qur'an, performing salatul tahajjud, qiyamul layl, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why it's related that for 40 years, Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa, you know, performed salatul fajr with the same wudu of salatul isha. The same wudu that he performed at the time of isha, right? He performed salatul fajr. Now, imagine a person like that, the whole day, he is working for the sake of Allah, serving his deen, teaching, writing, researching, studying, engrossed in these activities. And then the whole night he doesn't sleep as well, he worships Allah. The only time he slept was a couple of hours, an hour and a half, couple of hours in the afternoon, which is called Qaylula, which is a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mid-afternoon nap. Now the story goes that once on such occasion on the afternoon, imagine for a person like that, the two hours of afternoon sleep, do you imagine how important and integral part of that person's life the 2 hours would be? You don't sleep the whole night. You worship Allah and the whole day you've got, you know, serious business to attend to. You just have that 2 hours, couple of hours of Qaylula, you really need that sleep, and you don't want to be disturbed in any way, shape or form, right? You can't be disturbed. Now, Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, one of these days in the afternoon, on one occasion he went home for his mid-afternoon nap, Qaylula, Sunnah, to sleep. He was just about to sleep and somebody came to his front door and knocked, bang, bang, bang. Now, he was just about to fall asleep. Imagine how how angry you could get. Because everybody knew him. He was the figurehead in the community, right? Everybody knew him. And he knew that, look, people know that I shouldn't be disturbed at this time. But he said, okay, no problem. He went to the front door, he opened the door. And there's a brother there, there's a person there. He said, yes, brother, can I help you? He said, yeah, I have a question. I need to ask you a question. I have a mas'ala, can you please answer me? Now, subhanAllah, just imagine. Imam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anhu, this is the only 2 hours that he sleeps. The whole rest of the day, before this, in the morning, before Dhuhr, from Fajr to Dhuhr, I was sat in the masjid. You could have come and asked your question there. And you know that in a couple of hours, before Asr, I'm going to be back in the masjid till Isha. And we are teaching there and studying there and researching. And we have, you know, I sit there specifically for people. You can ask your questions. You don't ask questions. And this is the only time you find someone like me would probably really lose it. You know, you'd be angry, like coming to my house. I have a place where you can come and ask questions. But Imam Hanifa, nothing like that. Okay, brother, no problem, ask. So he said, you know, I've just forgotten. It just slipped my mind, I forgot. SubhanAllah. Okay, Imam Hanifa said, no problem. He closed the door. He went back to upstairs or whatever, where he was sleeping. Got into his bed. About 10 minutes, 5 minutes, he was just about to drop off. There goes the door again. Bang, bang, bang. The person knocked again. He said, oh, subhanAllah, who's this? He went back to the door. Same brother. He said, yes, brother, now can I help you? He said, yeah, I remember the question. He said, go ahead, ask me, inshallah, no problem. He said, subhanAllah. I remembered, you know, when I came to the door, when I knocked, I remember, when you were halfway down your stairs, I remembered it. It's just slipped my mind. I've just forgotten. Please forgive me. Now, Hanifa said, no problem, inshallah. When you remember, ask me. And he closed the door. He went back home, just about to go to sleep again. Imagine the importance of the sleep, you know, subhanAllah, you would realize the importance of the sleep if you know the maqam of Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anhu. He was just about to go to sleep again. Bang, 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 knock on the door. The same person. Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anhu, he went back to the door open. He said, yes, brother, have you now remembered your question? He said, yes, I've remembered my question. He said, yes, what's the question? He said, you know, me and my friend, we're having this debate and discussion. And, you know, he said, that you know the impurity that exists from the human body, in the stool, when you go to the toilet. We were just debating, we wanted to know whether it tastes sweet or whether it's sour in taste. Now this is taking it to the limit, maximum. You know, this person intentionally came to test Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu. This is not just the only incident, there are many incidents in the life of Sayyiduna al-Imam Abu Hanifa Nu'man bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, where he was tested, people slandered him, and you know, he would never become angry, subhanAllah. There's another incident where, you know, because he had a lot of people jealous of him, people never liked his fame, and because of jealousy, people used to say bad things about him. Once he was, you know, there's another incident where once he was going home, and one person saw him in the middle of the road that, oh, there's Abu Hanifa and he's walking. So he joined up with him and carried on walking with him, slandering him, swearing at him, abusing him, mouthing him, using all sorts of slanderous language, and making all these remarks. So Imam Hanifa said nothing in response. That person, he was with him throughout Imam Abu Hanifa's journey from the masjid to his house. Every alleyway, every step, he was with him. He turned the corner, he turned with him. He went right, he went right with him. He took a left, he went left with him. All the way to the entrance of his house. When they reached to the entrance of his house, Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, he turned around and he said, brother, okay, now I'm going to enter inside my house, so I'm going to depart from you. Our paths will now separate. I'm going to go inside the house and you're going to go somewhere else. So I'm just going to stand here. Whatever you have left in your capacity, and whatever you still have left in terms of slanderous language and swearing and arguing, etc., go ahead, I'm standing here. Whatever you have, take out all your emotion and take out everything that you've got into your heart. I'm going to stand here. Whatever swearing and slandering you want to do, you know, just go ahead. I'll be waiting for you here for 5-10 minutes until you're finished and you're satisfied. Once you're satisfied, you let me know, inshallah, and then I'll just go inside my house. SubhanAllah. And that person, once he said that, he fell on his feet and he said sorry and he was remorseful and regretful. And this is not a normal human being that I'm interacting with. And that's the point, brothers and sisters, that when we become such that we are able to control our anger and we don't retaliate, we have sabr and patience, then the other party will naturally, if they are sound and if they are normal people, they will naturally feel guilty and bad about what they are doing. They will themselves stop. If you retaliate, then they will retaliate. But if you don't respond in any way, shape or form, not even in a sarcastic manner, then they just will feel guilty about the whole situation. And they will ask forgiveness. You will become beloved and respectful in their eyesight. This is what we call psychological warfare. So this is an amazing quality, unique quality that we need to bring about and have sabr. So just to finish off the other story of Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, this person, what did he say? After 3 times calling him from his sleep, the stool comes out from the human body when it exits. Does it taste sweet or does it taste sour? SubhanAllah. Imam Abu Hanifa responded, he actually said, he goes, you know what, when it's a bit, I don't want to go into the details, but because it's not a right time to talk about this, but he responded to that story, to that question. He actually answered him. So point being, and then that person actually, you know, said he fell onto the feet of Imam Hanifa radiallahu anhu and he asked for forgiveness. And he said, you know what, I was having a discussion with one of my friends and my friend said that Imam Abu Hanifa, it doesn't have too much sabr in him. And there's another imam called Sufyan al-Thawri, has a lot of patience and fortitude and sabr. And I said, no, look, I will prove it to you. And this is to prove that I took you to the limits. Despite me, I knew this is your time to sleep. And I troubled you. And I 3 times I knocked on your door and disturbed your sleep. And then I asked such an offensive and ludicrous kind of question. And then you even gave an answer. And then I even, you know, said something upon that. Still, you have not even this much retaliation and anger in your life. And I salute you for this. And he fell on his feet and he asked for forgiveness. And he said, please make dua for me, that Allah make me like you. And he became one of the greatest students of Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. These were our pious predecessors. أُولَٰئِكَ أَبَائِي فَجِئْنِي بِمِثْلِهِمْ إِذَا جَمَعْتَنَا لِيَا جَلِيلُ الْمَجَامِعِ So anger, brothers and sisters, we really need to control ourselves. I want to carry on with this topic, because this topic has not ended. Tomorrow I have some very important things to talk about in terms of sabr. We need to bring about sabr in our life, right? Solution is sabr. Today I talked about the cause, but I want to talk about the remedies of how to control anger. But then I want to talk about sabr and patience, that how we, inshallah, you know, when we live with our family members and relatives, you know, how we have sabr. And how we should deal with this, inshallah. So tomorrow we'll carry on with this cause number 6 of family disputes and the solution to it. There are very important things that I need to talk about tomorrow, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and ability to practice on what has been discussed and what has been being discussed over the past few days since the beginning of Ramadan. Make dua for me, make dua for yourselves, for your family, for the humanity. Jazakallahu khair. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم وبعد Welcome back, dear listeners, to our daily discussion on the topic of family disputes, family friction, family disputes and conflicts, causes and solutions. We are continuing with our discussion on cause number 6, which I started yesterday. We've discussed 5 major causes for family disputes and family friction previously, which I don't want to go into right now and recap because time is very short today. But I started cause number 6. Cause number 6 of family disputes, which was anger. If you remember, I discussed anger in detail yesterday, how severe the disease of anger is, and how anger is a disease that results in many other sins. It results in sins such as physically hurting someone, physically abusing someone, verbally abusing someone, striking, hitting, punching, slapping, injuring someone, all of these things. And then verbally as well, such as slandering, swearing, arguing, cursing. And it results in all these kind of sins. And that's when you have control over that person, when you are superior. And if you're not superior, if you're scared from the other person has more power over you, then anger, you would remain quiet at that time, but you will be left frustrated, and hence anger would result in sins like you would go away from there and then talk bad about that person, talk ill about them, so it will result in jealousy, hatred, enmity, dislike in the heart, backbiting, tail-bearing, and talking false accusations and talking behind that person's back. So anger is a severe disease that results in many other sins committed by us. And this is the reason the hadith that I mentioned yesterday, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked by a sahabi, a companion radiallahu anhum, who said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, awsini, give me an advice, but make it short and brief. Make it extremely short and brief." And he said, "La taghdab." In another hadith, he asked 3 times, "Give me an advice, give me counseling, nasiha." And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "La taghdab, la taghdab, la taghdab," on 3 occasions. So we talked about that yesterday, that anger is a severe disease. It's a severe spiritual disease. And I also mentioned that there's a reason and hikmah because of which Allah created anger within ourselves. And I mentioned some of the reasons because of which anger has been created, because it can be used in a positive way. But we need to control our anger so that we don't use our anger in an unlawful manner. We need to curb our anger. We need to control. And this is what Allah said in the Quran, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So anyway, anger is a severe spiritual disease that is one of the major causes. That's the 6th cause for family disputes. Many of our fights, many of our problems, many of our arguments and our quarrels and our disputes at home, within the family, in the masjid, at the workplace, on the road, whilst we're driving a car, whilst we're walking on the road, is because of the rage and anger that we find ourselves with, and we are not able to control it. And this is a major cause. The opposite of anger, and this is what I want to continue talking about, is sabr, patience. The opposite is patience, right? Sabr. Now there's a very beautiful hadith, and I want to discuss today's discussion on this hadith. There's a hadith in the Sunan of Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi radiallahu anhu, the great muhaddith, Imam Al-Tirmidhi, may Allah be pleased with him. He relates a hadith in his book Sunan Al-Tirmidhi in Babu Sifat Al-Qiyamah, hadith number 2507, wherein the companion Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-Muslimu idha kana yukhaliqu an-nasa wa yasbiru ala adhahum khayrun min al-muslim alladhi la yukhaliqu an-nasa wa la yasbiru ala adhahum." Al-Muslim idha kana yukhaliqu an-nasa wa yasbiru ala adhahum خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِ الَّذِي لَا يُخَالِطُ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ. Amazing hadith. I want to discuss this hadith and then talk about sabr and how to deal with these family conflicts in light of this hadith. We said the main root cause is anger. So now we know we need to control our anger. Controlling our anger, in other words, means having sabr and patience, swallowing one's anger. So sabr. Now the hadith here, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a believer, a Muslim who mixes in with people, who interacts with people, يُخَالِطُ النَّاسِ, who lives with people, and then exercises sabr, patience on the harms caused by them, by the people, is better, is superior than another Muslim who does not mix in with people and hence does not have to exercise sabr, patience on their harms. Understood the hadith? The translation? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that there's two types of believers, there's two types of Muslims, male or female. There's one who mixes in with people, interacts with people daily, and therefore is harmed by other people, and on that harm exercises sabr and patience. That Muslim is better than one who does not mix in with people, does not interact with people, and hence doesn't have to exercise sabr because he's not harmed. Now what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying in this hadith, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, is that a Muslim who, a believing male or female, who says to himself or herself that, you know what, I'm just going to completely avoid everyone, I'll just go and live in a jungle by myself, and therefore, you know, I'm going to avoid argumentation, friction and problem. That person, there's no big deal in that person not arguing and fighting. It's like a blind man saying that, you know what, I'm not going to look at any unlawful things. A blind man says that, you know, I will not watch porn, or I will not look at nudity, unlawful things. Now, there's not a big deal in a blind man staying away from sins of the eyes. Somebody who can't hear says, you know what, I won't listen to unlawful music. Likewise, a person who says, you know what, I'll just go and live in some kind of jungle, somewhere really far away, away from everyone, just avoid everyone, on the top of some kind of mountain. And you know what, I won't argue and I won't dispute, because there's no one to argue with. You're going to argue with what, the trees? So there's no big deal. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that believer who يُخَالِطُ إِذَا كَانَ يُخَالِطُ النَّاسَ, he actually mixes in with people, he interacts with people, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually pointing us to a reality. Pointing us to a reality that, look, Islam is a religion of realism. Islam is a religion of realism. Islam does not instruct or command or prescribe or suggest for us to spend a life of solitude, spend a life of isolation, spend a life of privacy. Islam does not advocate isolation. لا رهبانية في الإسلام. Islam does not say that you just go and isolate yourself in some kind of cave, in some kind of mountain. Islam does not advocate, support, endorse that kind of activity. Islam says no. Islam is a religion of realism. Islam understands the needs of humans. So Islam says, you live in this world, you work, you earn, you marry, you have children, you have offspring, you have to live with your wife, you have to live with your husband, you have to spend time with your spouse, you have a family that you'll be living with, and you'll be interacting with them on a daily basis. You have to go and earn a livelihood. So you'll be mixing in with your employer, your employee, you'll have a tenant and landlord relationship, you'll be out and about, you'll be interacting with people on a regular basis. This is what Islam is trying to put. This is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is directing us towards. And this is what he is trying to explain to us in this hadith, that, oh people, listen, a believer who interacts with people, إِذَا كَانَ يُخَالِطُ النَّاسَ, he is pointing out to the reality of life, that you can't all just go in a jungle and avoid people. We can't avoid people. We have to live with people. That's life. This is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. Now look, this is life. You have to, and we have to, interact with people. We can't avoid people. إِذَا كَانَ يُخَالِطُ النَّاسِ. Now when we have to live with people, Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is trying to say that when we have to live with people, then that person who interacts and lives with people, mixes in with people, and then exercises sabr and patience. Why is he saying that? Because he is pointing out to an inevitable consequence of living with people. Listen to this carefully again. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, is pointing to an inevitable consequence, an inevitable result, an obvious result of living with people, which is that our feelings will be harmed, our feelings will be hurt, we will be harmed, and there will be some kind of harm towards us. Therefore he's not saying that the person who lives with people and then if he is harmed. He never said that. He said al-Muslimu idha kana yukhalitu an-nasa wa yasbiru ala adahum. The Muslim, the believer, who mixes in with people and then exercises sabr and patience on the harms given by people. He never said, who mixes in with people and then if he is harmed. Not if he is harmed, but rather directly he exercises sabr on the harm. Why? Because there is no if here. Because it is a natural consequence. It's an absolute must. If we live with people, then 100% we will be harmed. Yes, if you don't want to be harmed, then you don't live with people, you live a life of isolation, privacy, go in some kind of ghar, hira, or mountain, or cave, or somewhere, north pole, south pole, you know, become an igloo or something, and live in some place like that, nobody will harm you, and that's it, you're fine. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that once we live with people, and we are interacting with people, we live a life that we mix in with people, right? So now, we live a life, we marry. If we marry, then as a result, as a consequence, 100%, without a shadow of doubt, there will be feelings hurt. Feelings will be hurt. We will be harmed. If we live a life of interaction, if we have a family, we're living with our parents, children, feelings will be hurt. We will be harmed. If we live and mix in with people, if we go and work, we have fellow workers, we have a boss, we have an employer-employee relationship, we have a teacher-student relationship, we have all different types of relationships, then the inevitable consequence is that we will be hurt and our feelings will be hurt and we will be harmed. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling us this and directing us to us in this hadith that we have to live with people, and once we live with people, then being harmed is natural, normal, and the natural consequence. And you know why? Brothers and sisters, you know why we will definitely be harmed by living with people? If we live with people, our feelings will without doubt be hurt. You know why? Because the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each one of us is differently. Even our faces are different. Subhanallah, imagine the qudra, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since min ladun, since Sayyiduna Adam, peace be upon him, till today and until the day of judgment, no two human beings look the same. Subhanallah, just imagine. And it doesn't mean that, and it's not even the case that, that we have different kind of organs on our face. We all have a nose, generally. We all have two ears, we all have two eyes. We have cheeks, we all have a forehead, we all have a chin. Despite we owning the same organs and the same body parts, every one of us looks different from another. There's physical difference. And not just faces, even our, fingerprints. That's why, if nowadays we take fingerprints. In the olden times, instead of signing, people used to stamp their fingerprints and take thumbprints. Why? Because every human being's, the lines in the hand and in the fingerprints are separate and different from another. I remember a couple of years ago, last year was it? I think. I visited America early last year, Detroit, Michigan, for a couple of days conference. I went to the airport, they take your picture. So they say to me, I went to the immigration, alhamdulillah, I was very, very, easy and smooth, and I actually went in quite quickly through the immigration. But officer at the immigration said to me, okay, can you stand this way? And he took a picture. They take your picture, camera. And then he said, can you put your thumb here? And he actually took my thumbprints. So even now, we thumbprints are taken. Reason being, every human being's fingerprints is different. If that's the case with our faces, no two human beings look the same, no fingerprints of two human beings are the same, then what about the nature, the temperament, the emotions? Without a doubt, they are different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created two human beings internally same as well. There is a difference. The nature, temperament, everything, we have diverse temperaments, diverse natures. There's diversity in our temperaments, there's diversity in our nature, in our understanding. These are inbuilt, inherent differences of temperament, of nature, of interests. I like something, someone else will like something else. The people's interests are different. The mizaj, the temperament of each human being is different. Now, if that's the case, when people's people's natures are different and they live together, we have a family. You have a husband, you have a wife, father, and the mother, right? And the son and the daughter. This is a family of like six people. Every one of them, they look different, their fingerprints are different, and even their natures and their temperaments are different. Especially between the male and the female genders. I mean, if you have brothers and sisters, I mean, there's a difference because you're different people, but even your genders are different. If you're a husband and a wife, you're different people, so your understanding, your temperament, your nature, everything is different just because you are two different individuals. But at the same time, you belong to two separate genders. So the man is different from the wife, the husband is different from the wife. Number one, because he's a different person, individual, but also he is from another gender. So his way of thinking, his way of reflecting, his way of pondering, his interests, his emotions, his nature, his temperament is diverse, different from the way of thinking of the wife, the temperament, the nature of the wife, the woman. So when people are different, externally, internally, in all ways, shapes, or form, it is absolutely a must, and it's without a doubt that people will be harmed, because people will say things because they're different from you. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying: "Al-mu'minu idha kana yukhalitu an-nas." When a believer is mixing with people, because when he mixes with people, you live with people, you live in a family, and when you live in a family, people are different. People have different natures, different temperaments, different emotions. So therefore, when people are different, when different people of different temperaments and natures live together in one house, or in one factory, they're working together, spending time together, in one workplace, or in one community, in one masjid, then automatically someone might say something that the other will feel offended by. Because he has a different temperament. He never, maybe meant it in that way. So somebody might do something, might say something that the other will feel hurt by it, right? The other one will feel offended by it. Subhanallah. This is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. It's an amazing, unique hadith of Sunan of Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi radiallahu anhu. A Muslim who mixes in and lives with people. You see, if you live in a cave by yourself, a life of isolation, privacy, seclusion, then this doesn't apply to you. But if we live in a family, it's a natural consequence of living with people and mixing in with people that our feelings will be hurt. Even the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his beloved wives, subhanallah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam became upset from all his wives. And he took an oath that he will not even visit one of them for 1 month. Likewise, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam once said to Aisha radiallahu anha that, "Oh Aisha, when you get upset from me, when you're happy from me and when you're upset from me, I know. I can detect it. I know when you're happy with me and when you're displeased." So Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Messenger of Allah, how? So he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you know when you're happy with me, when you take an oath, you say, Wa Rabbi Muhammad, by the Lord of Muhammad. I take an oath by the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when you're displeased, and when you're slightly upset from me, then you say, Wa Rabbi Ibrahim, by the Lord of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. This is Aisha radiallahu anha. Because at the end of the day, they are human beings. You know, if you live with someone, feelings of being hurt will take place. Aisha radiallahu anha responded and said, Ya Rasulullah, La ahjuru illa ismak. Subhanallah. He said, you know what, O Messenger of Allah? You know when I say, Wa Rabbi Ibrahim, even when I say, Wa Rabbi Ibrahim, by the Lord of Ibrahim, the only thing I do is I don't leave anything, I don't stop anything, I don't depart and leave anything except your name. In other words, I only, you know, avoid your name, but in my heart, there's no one else except you. Subhanallah. So this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. That when people live together, then automatically feelings will be hurt. Now, when we know that we've decided we're going to live in this world, yeah? We're not moving away and going to some kind of cave in isolation privacy. We want to get married. We want to have children. We're living in a home where we're living with parents. We're living and we're dealing with the world. We know that. Now, if that's the case, we know that our feelings will be hurt. We will be harmed in some way or shape or another. Now, when that's the case, and we know everyone's different. You know, your sister's different from you, your brother's different from you. So when our feelings will be hurt, we have to live with people, and it's a natural consequence of living with people that our feelings will be hurt. So we'll become angry. Like I said, the main cause, we will be angered very easily as well. Now, all of this is interrelated. Living with people and feelings being hurt, living in this world, interacting with people, so feelings being hurt, and likewise being angered, being saddened, you know, being hurt, all of these things are related. Whatever relationship you are in, whether it's a relationship of kinship, whether it's a relationship of friendship, whether it's a relationship of marriage, or a relationship between parents and children, or employer-employee, whatever relationship you're in, all these things are related. Because we live in these relationships, so therefore automatically our feelings will be hurt, and when our feelings will be hurt, we will be saddened, we'll be angered, we'll become angry, we'll become distressed. Now we only have two options in this world. In order to deal with this, we only have two options. We only have how many options? Two options. La thalitha lahuma. There is no other third option. There's only two options. Okay? One option is that we make a big deal out of this. We make a massive fuss out of it. We say, yeah, my feelings are hurt. We become angry. And we get more involved into this. Right? We go more into it. And we say, yes, I'm going to try to sort that person out and this and that. You know, you start arguing, you start retaliating, you start fighting back. And you start making a big massive fuss out of it. Someone said something about you and you made a big massive fuss out of it. You retaliated, you argued back and you mouthed back and you used your mouth and then you talked to someone. You made a ghibah, backbiting, and then it carried on and maybe there was physical abuse and there was striking and there was punching and maybe injuring someone and all sorts of things. That's one option you can take. If you want to take that option, you know what? There'll be never ending to that option. There'll be no end. It's just going to make your life more of a misery. It's just going to prolong your problems. You will never gain and achieve peace and tranquility and harmony in your life, and neither the life of your fellow, you know, family members, especially in the family. You know, why did your wife say this and why did your husband say this? And you're just going to carry on and you just want to prolong it. You just want to fight back, argue, debate, make riba, talk to this person, talk to that person. If it's your sibling, if it's your parents, your children, at the workplace, whatever. Right? Because that's one option you can take. There's only two ways. So you take one option. that you just want to, you know, carry on arguing and fighting. And this will result in, you know, it's not going to give you any peace and tranquility. For example, someone told you that, you know, oh, you know what, I heard someone talking about you. So you want to start investigating. You felt bad. Okay, oh, who talked about me? Who was in that gathering? Who was in that majlis? Did she say this about me? And why did she phone you? And then you make another phone call and you lose all control. And that's it, your emotion, your rage. That's what we're talking about. The main cause is rage and anger. And you, before you even think, you pick up the phone and you're still, you know, breathing heavily and you're red and your, you know, your veins are showing. And okay, and you call, Salaam Alaikum, yeah, what happened? Did you hear her talking about me? And did she say this? And how dare she? And this and that. That's one option you can take, sister or brother. And the other option is the option of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You think to yourself, you know what? Life is too short. You think to yourself that people, I am going to be harmed, whatever way. I mean, that's a natural consequence. Let me exercise sabr. Let me exercise patience. Sabr. Right? You take the second way and you think that, you know what? The solution is sabr. Patience. When someone gives me any kind of taklif, I am harmed by anyone. If anyone hurts my feelings, It's natural. I have to live with people. This life is too short. We're not going to live in this world forever. This is what you think to yourself. That I'm not going to stay here forever and ever and ever. This world is a lot, you know, it's just a life. This life is just for a few days. I don't know when I will leave and depart this world. Why bother? Why stress over a life consisting of a few days? That somebody harmed me and this and that. For the sake of Allah, you know what, I'm just going to exercise sabr. I'll have patience. Yes, I am harmed a bit slightly. It's hurt me in the heart. But right now, the rage that I am undergoing in my heart and the rage that I'm feeling, and I'm really angry and I'm angered and I'm sad and I'm distressed, yeah, then I feel like punching the person, I feel like slapping, I feel like striking, I feel like saying bad things about them. But you know what, for the sake of Allah, I'll just do sabr, and the rewards I'll get for this in the next eternal life will be amazing. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The reward that Allah will give the patient people, يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. There is no end. Allah never said any number. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Yes, if I retaliate, I might feel slightly better right now. If I punch him, if I slap her, if I strike her, I might feel slightly better. If I talk about it, if I pick up the phone and call my friend and, you know, talk for half an hour making ghibah, backbiting and talking ill about that person, I'll feel slightly better. And just for the time being, I'll feel slightly better. But remember, this feeling slightly better right now, it's not going to end. Because this is a fire that you've lit. And this then fire will never, you know, become cool again. It's just, it'll just carry on. This burning fire will burn. Because it will carry on and on and on. And it's just going to put you in more misery. And you think, you know what, I'll do sabr. That's the other option, sabr. And remember, sabr is عند صدمة الأولى. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, sabr is at that exact moment. You know, there was once a woman, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was passing by a graveyard. A woman was, you know, being extremely remorseful and losing control over someone who had passed away, her son or someone. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you know, sister, you should have sabr. So she didn't know it was the Messenger of Allah. So she turned back and she said, how do you know what I'm undergoing? You know, you don't know my situation and I'm in a distressful situation. I'm grieving right now. So Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just walked away. Remember, you know, when someone's in that situation, the lesson is that don't rub it in that way. He just left her. This woman was in a state, so he just left her. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went away home. After a while, somebody came to that woman and said, you know what, that person who was speaking to you was the Messenger of Allah. Suddenly she felt extremely remorseful and regretful. She said, A'udhu billah, I spoke like that to the Messenger of Allah. So she went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house and said, Ya Rasulullah, please forgive me. I didn't know it was you. You said to me that I have sabr, and I became like, I spoke to you in a disrespectful manner. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-sabru inda sadmatil ula. sabr, the real sabr that Allah wants from you, the patience that Allah wants from you, the patience that Allah promises to reward you upon, is the sabr that is instant. Not now. At that time when you were grieving, that time you felt rage, that time, that's the sabr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, brothers and sisters. Not that, you know, at that time you became angry, like you were having a fight and quarreling, you punched the person and you slapped him and you gave him a black eye and a bruised eye and a green eye and a purple eye and whatever, and you sent him to the hospital, and then after about 5 hours you say, brother, you know, sorry, I'm doing sabr right now, you know, this and that. That's not sabr. Sabr. As-sabru inda sadmati al-ula. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to us, sabru, the sabr, the patience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us, the one that Allah wants from us, and the sabr upon which Allah says, innama yuwaffa sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab, that the reward for those who exercise sabr is without any end. That sabr which Allah promises us to give Jannah upon, right? وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Sabr is this great, amazing quality, sabr, brothers. Seriously, sabr is an amazing attribute. It's an amazing quality. It takes us to Jannah. It takes us to paradise. But the sabr that Allah wants from us, and the sabr and the patience that Allah has promised us Jannah, is that patience. It's that quality and attribute of patience that we exercise at that exact instant time. عند الصدمة الأولى. الصبر عند الصدمة الأولى. Not when everything's over, when you've cooled down, when you've you're in your control now, you've had a cup of water, and then you have sabr. That's not the sabr Allah wants from us. So this is what we want. Solution. We get angered. Our feelings are hurt. Right? People harm us, and that's absolutely natural, that's normal, because we live in this world. Seriously, because we live in this world. But the solution is sabr. Because there's only two solutions, as I said to you. Only two solutions. One solution is that we want to retaliate. We want to prolong it. We want to carry on fighting. Remember, we can't always have it our way. So if we don't do sabr, if we don't exercise patience, and there'll be friction, there'll be disputes, there'll be problems, there'll be quarrels in every relationship. But we need to do sabr. Now, you know, there's an easy way to do sabr as well. So anyway, you've understood this much, the two options that we have. The hadith in light of which I am discussing this point, cause number 6 of family disputes, anger and rage. The solution is sabr. The hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that, look, because we live with people, it's natural that because we are all different people, we've been created differently, physically, mentally, psychologically, our temperaments, our natures are diverse and are different, hence feelings will be hurt, and therefore it's natural that we'll become angered and we'll have rage within ourselves. Solution, there's only two. One is to quarrel, fight back, retaliate, punch, argue, debate, carry on episode after episode until you die. You just keep on fighting. No peace, no tranquility, nothing in your life. Other option is, you know what, life is too short. For the sake of Allah, sabr, patience. Remember, I always mention this. Even when we do sabr, don't do it in a sarcastic manner. That's another problem. Because silence and sabr in a sarcastic manner is also a form of retaliation. So you think to yourself, not in a sarcastic manner, just for the sake of Allah, I don't want to prolong this, you know. You just completely just exercise sabr for the sake of Allah. And think and imagine of the rewards. Now, in terms of sabr, somebody might say it's difficult to exercise sabr. Our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama has actually prescribed us even the method, subhanallah, even the method of exercising sabr. He's even taught us, subhanallah, he even taught us the method of sabr. How do you bring about sabr? How do you exercise sabr and patience? How do you bring it in your life? How do you control your rage and anger? How do you control yourself from retaliation? before I do that, I'm not trying to say that in every case scenario, whatever, you know, you just lay back. If somebody punching you, just give, okay, punch me, hit me, strike me, kill me, you know, that's it. I'm not trying to say that. That's not in our religion. Turn the other cheek was in Christianity, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But if people are verbally abusing you or saying things, you can try to, you know, try to stop that, prevent that, like, in a nice way. Look, you do sabr, but if it's happening, you talk to the authority, look, this is happening, can you please avoid, you know, try to stop this, prevent this. If someone's hitting you, striking you, you're not going to just keep on saying, keep on hitting me, punching me, and that's it, and I'm just going to die, no problem, sabr. I'm not saying that, okay? We are all intelligent people, and we all realize what I'm talking about. We understand what I'm talking about. So within, especially in the family, when someone said something, someone hurt your feelings, in from one ear, out of the other ear. Really. Someone praised you, in from one ear, out of the other ear. Someone said something bad about you, somebody, you know, said something evil about you, in from one ear, out of the other ear. Like one of my friends said, forget in from one ear and out of the other ear, in from one ear and out from the same ear. You know, just don't let it come to your brain. Just forget about it. Life is too short. You know, if you get busy, seriously, brothers and sisters, if we busy ourselves, engage ourselves in writing, in reading, in studying, in doing some community work, then you know what? We won't have time for all these soap opera episodes. You know, we won't have time to work for the soap operas because that's what they are. Family problems are soap operas, nothing else. It's a different episode every day. She said this, and he said that, and was she saying this, and she was saying that, and did you hear that, and then when there's a marriage, whether it's a, you know, situation, relatives are coming from abroad, and then did you cook, and you didn't cook, and she cooked too less, and she didn't call me, and she called me, and he said this, and she said that, and just talking bad and ill about people, it just carries on, and on, and on, and it's just soap operas, nothing else. So anyway, I said sabr. Now the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, Sayyidi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amazing Messenger of Allah, Allah has given us. He's even taught us how to exercise sabr and patience. There's a hadith in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, he said, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن سخط منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. A believer should not dislike another believer. Because if you are dislike and you are displeased with one something else, another quality of this. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that people, you know what? If you want to exercise sabr, I'll tell you an easy way. An easy way is always try to think of the positives of the other person. If your sister hurt you, she said something, then think, okay, she's hurt me right now. She said something. She swore at me or she slandered me. Or she hurt my feelings, but yesterday she even bought me something from the shop. She woke me up and she gave me some food. She helped me out. She did this, she did that, she did this, she did that. If you're a husband and you think about your wife, that your wife talks back at you and she uses her tongue too much and she's always hurting your feelings and she's always doing this and she's always doing that. Think of the positives. She also cooks for me. She also, you know, does this for me. She always does that for me. Subhanallah. That's the way to have sabr. And this actually happened. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. A man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a list of complaints. He said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, my wife's like this, she's like that, she's like this, she whinges, she shouts, she the way she uses her tongue, she disrespects me, she swears at me, she says this, she says that. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard him, and then he said, طَلِقْهَا, divorce her. Straight away, without saying anything, he said, divorce her. So the man was taken aback. He said, wait a minute, divorce her? He was thinking, wow, I mean, divorce, and that means I'll have to spend my life without her. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, but she also, you know, she does this for me, and she does this good thing for me. Like, you're telling me to, you know, I came for some advice, but you told me, like, completely divorce her. But it's not that she's that bad. She also does this for me, she does that for me. You know why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that straight away, you know, طَلِّقْهَا, just divorce her, so that he understands and he thinks for a moment, he's taken aback, so that he gets a shock and he realizes that yes, she has 10 bad qualities, but she has another 5 good qualities as well. And it made him think. So he actually said it himself, O Messenger of Allah, you know, yeah, you know, my wife, you're telling me to get rid of her, but she's also good at some things. So he said, أَمْسِكْهَا إِذَن, then keep her. You know, don't complain, don't whinge, sabr. If you like, you know, you weigh the good qualities and the bad qualities. Everyone, you will never get a wife or a woman who is 100% good. You will never get a husband who is 100% full of good qualities. You will find nobody in this world who has only positives and no negatives. Every one of us, we have positives and negatives. We are all different. Our feelings will be hurt. The way to go about this whole issue is, rather than prolong all these fights and arguments, just sabr for the sake of Allah. We need to learn to forget and forgive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. Seriously, only for Allah, because our reward is in the hereafter. Brothers and sisters, exercise sabr and think life is too short. How many years are we going to live here? 500? 400? An average life of 50, 60 years. There's no time for all these disputes. Do something constructive in your life and do not waste the precious age and time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in argumentation, in fights and quarreling and disputing and being part of those soap operas. Do something constructive and just forget and forgive and think like this. Then look, you know what? Life is too short. Sabr. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that the way to do sabr is to think of the positives. Think of the good qualities. We all have good and bad qualities within ourselves. Think of the good qualities. Think, seriously. Think of the good qualities. Overlook the bad qualities. Overlook the bad ones and look and think of the good qualities. And if someone has more bad than good, then try to keep distance from them. But just do sabr. You don't have to mix in too much with people. Have a slight kind of distance from them. It's not a problem. But don't keep any grudges or anything in the heart for the sake of Allah. In this month of Ramadan, if you have people that you are fighting with and arguing with, just go and seek forgiveness. You be the first one. Al-badi'u bis-salami bari'un min al-kibr. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who initiates the salam is free from pride and arrogance. Allah will give you Jannah for that. Seriously. These are really important issues of relationship. Islam places a lot of importance, and I talked about these issues right in the beginning when I started these programs, in the beginning of Ramadan. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to try to have sabr and control our anger, the rage that we find ourselves in. Have sabr. There's no benefit in taking revenge. There is no benefit. Look, if you take revenge, if you retaliate, what benefit is in there? As I said, no benefit. And if you exercise sabr and patience, then the benefit in there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar verse 10 says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ صَابِرُونَ أَجَرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The reward of those people who exercise sabr and patience is without any reckoning. Without any reckoning. Subhanallah. Sabr. Amazing quality sabr. And I mentioned yesterday the couple of incidents of Sayyiduna al-Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, how he exercised sabr. I mentioned those two stories yesterday. Control yourself for the sake of Allah. So much sabr we should have in our lives, as the poet says, and I'm going to end with this. The amount of sabr we should have in our lives is like what the poet has actually, an amazing line of poetry in Arabic, the poet has described in his poetry. He says, صَابَرَ صَبْرَ فَاسْتَغَاثَ بِهِ الصَّبْرُ صَابَرَ صَبْرَ فَاسْتَغَاثَ بِهِ الصَّبْرُ فَقَالَ الصَّبُورُ يَا صَبْرُ صَبْرَ صَابَرَ صَبْرَ فَاسْتَغَاثَ بِهِ الصَّبْرُ فَقَالَ الصَّبُورُ يَا صَبْرُ صَبْرَ. Subhanallah. You know, if you know Arabic, then you will appreciate this. Because, you know, some things you just cannot translate into English or Urdu or whatever language. That pleasure that you get is first hand in the Arabic language. A man exercised sabr. A man acted upon sabr so much in his life, had so much patience, endured so much patience. Sabr sabra. Fastaghatha bihi sabru. To the point that he was so patient in his life that istaghatha bihi sabru, that, you know, sabr itself, the quality of sabr, sabr itself pleaded. فَاسْتَغَاثَ بِهِ الصَّبْرُ. Sabr itself pleaded and said, enough, you've used me enough. صَابَرَ صَبْرَ فَاسْتَغَاثَ بِهِ الصَّبْرُ. Sabr started pleading and saying, yes, you know, فَاسْتَغَاثَ بِهِ الصَّبْرُ, that's enough, you've used me too much. فَقَالَ الصَّبُورُ يَا صَبْرُ صَبْرًا. The patient person said to sabr, when sabr pleaded and said, you know, you've used me too much, he said, sabr, it's your time to have sabr now. So anyway, that's the kind of patience that we need to bring about in our lives, brothers and sisters. But anyway, we end with the sixth cause of family disputes. If I recap again, since the beginning of Ramadan, we are looking at family disputes, right? Family disputes, causes and solutions, and I had a really good introduction to the topic, and then I talked about, you know, incorrect cause number one, incorrect intentions, so we need to correct our intentions. Number two, cause of family disputes, diseased hearts. And then number three was monetary issues. Number four was the uncontrolled usage of our tongues, so the solution was we need to control our tongues. Number five was being selfish, and a solution that I talked about was bringing about the quality of ithar, preference, giving preference to others. And number six, the sixth cause that we have discussed in detail over the last couple of days, today and yesterday, is anger and rage. The solution is sabr and having patience in our life, inshaAllah. Jazakallah khair for listening. Until tomorrow, inshaAllah, أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.